Nicole Essio and Dr. Rachel Bushing.
Hi, it's Rach.
And I'm Nicole, and welcome to Pop the Kettle On.
This is the Parenting, Womanhood, Marriage, Baby and Life Review Podcast. We sit down every couple of weeks and dissect the good, the bad and the ugly of family life, and we have a laugh about how it's depicted in popular culture.
Because it's always tea time.
And if I don't laugh, I'll cry.
Oh, yes. How you doing, Rach?
I'm okay, gorgeous. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I have tea.
I know. I just thought, 38 degree day or whatever it's going to get to, so I'd better make you a nice hot tea.
I like it. Mm. Thank you very much.
Wild weather in Brisbane this week.
Wild weather everywhere.
Yeah, I know. It's got a bit nutty.
It's real.
Yep.
Yes. So this week I chatted about our last podcast, and I have to tell you this. I haven't told you this one yet.
Okay.
I got some feedback on the... what was the question about perinatal mental health?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yes, what I wish on you. Right. So I said to Paul, this is what we talked about on the podcast. Uh-huh. He's like, I'll download it. I'll listen to it on the plane. Uh-huh. Blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. And so he listened to it on the plane and he rang me after and he's like, you know what I wish I knew? I'm like, oh, what? This is interesting. He said, I wish I knew how easily you can just fall into gender roles and turn into 1950. He said, I wish, not that I regret anything, but I wish we pushed against it a little bit more.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that is so interesting because we're going to probably talk a bit about marriage today.
We are.
And I do not see you guys as being that sort of traditional 50s gender role couple at all from the outside looking in.
Well, we're not, but we also, particularly when the first two came along, I stayed home. And he went to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
And you didn't really discuss it. It was just one of those things that was... That's... Yeah. Like, without thinking about it, that's just kind of what happened.
Yes. Mm. Absolutely. Mm. So, yeah, really interesting to hear his perspective on that one.
Mm. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you for the feedback. Feedback. Paul. See, feedback. Oh, my goodness. It's going to be one of those days, everyone. I'm sorry.
By the way, I haven't listened to last episode yet.
Dude.
And the fact that it was 50 minutes long gave me a bit of a, oh, God. I've got to find 50 minutes of my life.
And you can't listen to it at 1.5 times speed because we talk too fast.
Ah, this is true. And someone said to me that one of my friends who knows me said, sometimes you sound so similar, she can't tell who's talking.
Wow, we need to announce ourselves.
We do. Hello, this is Rachel. This is my opinion. So,
that's really funny.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we should have more pauses in the conversation too, just for the listener.
Do you think they need a break
for us? No, I mean, so it feels like we're all out at coffee. And so I talk and you talk and then there's a pause and then...
They get to get their bit in.
They fill in the blank. And then we go, what a lovely insight.
Kind of like Romper Room when it was through the mirror and I see you and I see you.
We could do that.
We could totally do
Hello,
that.
Hello, Tracy.
There is definitely
a Tracy.
Tracy.
Yes. Yes. We see you, Tracy.
We do. And mm-hmm. we love you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Is that going to be a theme every week? We're going to pick a random name.
I like this idea.
Crikey. Yeah. I don't know. I'm having pre-Christmas fatigue among many other things.
I hear you. I absolutely. Mm-hmm. I had a Christmas party in November.
Yeah.
I found that really odd.
It's wrong. You should have rioted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there was, free soft drinks and, there was drinks. I drank soft drinks. And there was free food. And there was gathering with workmates, not at the workplace. So
okay.
I kind of figured rioting wasn't the appropriate response.
Right. Okay. I suppose it was fun anyway.
Fun. Mm-hmm. So, speaking of Christmas.
Yes.
Red table talk. Segway queen.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That was terrible. So bad. But Red Table Talk, we decided that we would talk about Red Table Talk and the episodes on marriage. That,
yes.
Jada Pinkett Smith and Will Smith
mm-hmm.
and, oddly, their daughter and her mother
yes.
all at the table.
Yeah, yeah. So, because I watched it a few weeks back and that's when I said to you we should talk about this. When did you watch it?
I watched it when we were on holiday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. a few weeks before that.
Ah, ha, ha, ha. Mm. And I did do a little bit of a deep dive, not Ooh. deep, but I was like, okay, we're going to talk about it. I just sort of seen things shared on Facebook and, you know, clicked and seen little bits here and there. So I went, okay, I'll actually look into what exactly is Red Table Talk. So this is what I figured out, is that this is Facebook-produced content.
Yes. Mm. Just on Facebook.
Yeah.
Facebook show.
Yeah. Because I got out of YouTube. It's not there. And then I went, where did I find it initially? Facebook. So I'll just search for their page on Facebook. And then it was like Facebook Live, whatever it's called, content thing. So it's a Facebook web series.
Yes, exactly. Mm.
And I also learned a few other facts.
Oh, do tell.
So obviously it's like anchored by Jada Pinkett Smith. Yes. And she's a producer. Mm-hmm. And she's kind of the key host. She sometimes does the little bit to camera, welcome everyone, that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And it launched in April, May, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that we're talking about came out in October.
There you go.
Yeah. And I feel like I've been seeing it for ages. So I was a little bit surprised to be like, oh, it's actually only been the last 6 months or so that they've been producing this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, something like weekly shows or something like this.
It feels like a podcast but on telly.
I thought that same thing because it's basically just chat.
Yeah.
Although the production value is like really incredible.
Exponentially higher than ours.
I know. And they've got these cute little kind of like intros and, you know, at the end and everyone walking around and it's like beautiful. It's filmed at their house.
Yes.
I think it's literally her red table.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
So I think the idea was that she wanted to have her mum and her daughter, three generations of women, just talking about stuff that is relevant to women.
Yeah. Mm. Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And of course, you know, Will is quite the draw card, so that's the episode that gets talked about.
I know. It's a bit unfortunate, really, isn't it?
It really is.
I know. I'm like, we're going to watch the Will Smith thing.
Oh. I have watched other episodes.
Yeah. Well, I went back and watched a few other ones. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really fascinating.
Mm.
Because, I mean, particularly this one, I think you're never in someone else's marriage, right?
Mm-hmm.
You never know what's happening behind closed doors and how they communicate when they're alone.
Yeah.
You know, you see facades of marriages, but you don't necessarily understand what it's like on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And not that you necessarily do from this talk, but you get a little bit more of an insight.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really fascinating.
Yeah, it was kind of like a lifting of the veil sort of discussion about their marriage, their unique union.
That kind of Gwyneth unconscious, conscious uncoupling or whatever.
Yes.
It kind of made me want to vom. But unique union.
Conscious uncoupling.
Sorry, that's it.
To me, it sounded just like therapy talk.
Ah.
It's exactly the same kind of shit. It's not actually a term, but I'm like, that's the kind of shit you pick up in therapy where you go, we'll just divide as the couple. We will uncouple and then we're going to do it like, you know, purposefully and mindfully and consciously. So actually, I like the intent of that.
Absolutely.
But, you know, poor Gwyn, she gets, cops a lot of flack for.
I know. And, you know, I make fun, but clearly, they've got it sorted out. Mm. I think if you can split things and focus on keeping kids happy, that is a good unmarriage.
And make that work.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
My husband was a bit nervous this morning. He's like, what are you going to talk about? And I said, marriage. He's like, okay. I trust you.
I love you.
Ben. I've said to him, I said something weird last time. I said, you know that you can always tell me to edit something out if you feel that for whatever reason it's showing unfavorably on you or, you know, like just I get a vast inaccuracy because that, like, what happens when you're trying to speak on behalf of someone else, et cetera, et cetera.
Because we have the microphones.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
You know.
And it's just my perspective.
Yes.
And we warp stories all the time. I know, because he tells me all the time that fact was not entirely right. And so I said to him something, I'm like, so, like, if you're ever listening and you're like, I don't like that part, we can cut it out. And then I'm like, wait a minute, we just launch it. So I'm like, after the fact.
We will correct it on the next episode.
We will. Factual inaccuracies. Send us notes.
Yes, always.
Yeah. Okay.
You've got notes. I can see you scrolling through your phone there.
I did, but mostly because I wanted to sort of just, because I was looking at Facebook channel, 4 million followers.
at Red Table Talk?
Yes.
Wow.
So it's kind of taken off in that time.
Good for them.
Which is really awesome.
Hmm.
And I think I just dropped down some of the other topics that they looked through as well. Which ones did you look up? Which were the other ones?
I think it was the sex one.
Oh.
Because she was talking to her daughter and, yeah, and then it was,
mm-hmm.
There was one with her and Jaden as well, mm-hmm. yeah, about kids.
Being, oh, good, because yeah. I didn't watch those ones.
No, really interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I sort of started at the start.
Yeah, the sex one was with Willow and a girlfriend of hers.
Right.
Which is really interesting.
Right, right, right.
Because they're 18. So that's quite extraordinary to oh. have that kind of relationship where you can talk to your mum mm-hmm. in that way, mm. your mum's friend, in front of your grandmother, and then record it and put it out in the world.
It's, so maybe we should have your big come and join our red table next time.
Oh, I think she's quite jealous that she's not a member of the gang yet. She's aww. Like, are there junior memberships? she wants to be part of our girl gang.
Well, we would love to have guests, but we don't have a third microphone.
We don't. We'll work that out one day. Andy?
We're barely functioning on two, but we'll get there. We'll get there. Yeah, because the topics that I looked at were things like, you know, motherhood, surviving loss, divorce, domestic abuse, addiction.
Oh, wow. So, you went heavy.
And that was just the titles. It was just like, oh, okay, all the big topics.
Yeah. But,
yeah, what I find, and it's, you can tell it's edited.
Yes.
You know, you can tell it's beautiful, there are producers, it's all of that kind of stuff. But their intent is to try and be as real as possible.
Yeah.
And to discuss things that, you know, removing that filter and just trying to kind of speak from your experience about the troubles and all the difficult stuff
yeah,
you go through.
Work.
Because the other thing I learned is that her mum had her when she was 17.
And didn't her mum have addiction issues?
Yeah, I didn't actually watch that one.
Mm.
But I think so, yeah.
So it's all – I think it's really interesting what Jada talks about is, you know, working a marriage is learning about yourself
mm-hmm.
at the same time as you're learning about someone else and how to be yourself with that other person who's trying to work out who they are at the same time. So it's always work to kind of – I think there's a difference between work and drudge and pain and that kind of stuff. Work, I don't know. I feel like it's – work is fine, but – if you get to a point where it's actually diminishing you as a person or, you know, like there are points, I think, at which people are absolutely right to go, you know, I'm calling time. But, yeah, they obviously push through those times.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you and I are married.
Yes. Not to each other.
No. You 20 years.
Yes.
Me 10.
Wow.
But I also didn't have many long-term big relationships before my husband.
I had zero.
Yeah. So we're similar in that respect.
Yeah.
And which means that I've not ever had to uncouple in a big way.
Yeah.
And my radar for knowing when to uncouple, I constantly feel like I'm entering into this marriage thing being very sort of like, where's the manual? I don't know what I'm doing.
No. Well, and I think part of that is, I mean, Paul and I met when I was 17. Well, we met before then, but we started going out when I was 17. And no offense to any 17-year-olds, but I don't think I was a fully formed human being at that point. So you're literally learning how to be yourself. And then you're within this relationship as well. So those kind of things often compete, sometimes complement.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And I think there are times, Paul's 6 years older, so there were a lot of times when I felt like the kid in the relationship, not that he ever made me feel that way, but I just felt less formed as a human being.
Right.
Yeah, so it's really interesting kind of navigating that within that coupling and working it out together and things like that. I mean, you know, 20 years is a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And most of that time has been phenomenal. And we're very lucky that we like each other as much as we love each other. And but, you know, there's a lot of time, particularly I think when I was home two little kids, and I really lost me completely.
Just like Jada.
Just like Jada. Honestly, that thing really, her 40th birthday, talking about her 40th birthday, oh my goodness. It was hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. So she says basically rock bottom, the most unhappy day of my life.
Because Will wanted to be big, showy, I want to show everyone how much I love you, over the top, ego-driven, make this massive party, make a big deal.
Yeah.
Did a documentary, like, about her.
I love that too. I remember, like, I don't follow the Pinkett Smiths all that well.
No.
But I remember, like, at that time, when they talk about that whole, like, him wanting to have, like, the family with the Hollywood success and yes. the kids doing the music and the movies and stuff. And I remember being a bit like, why are they, like, everywhere, mm-hmm. you know? And I think it was really brave to be like, because Will's a fuckwit. Like, you know, he's the best type of fuckwit. He's just so, like, energetic and out there and let's do the things. And mm-hmm. I think would have this level of enthusiasm and joy for life that is, like, amazing. He's so charismatic.
No, but also he has this kind of, my kids are amazing and
yeah.
talented.
Yeah, yeah,
everybody
yeah.
should see that.
Exactly. I love
and
that.
My wife is incredible.
That's right.
Look
and he has the platform and the wealth so that he can just, like, put that out there. But it reminds me too, like, in my marriage, everyone loves my husband.
Yeah.
You love my husband.
I do.
He loves my friends too. He tries to steal my friends. He's a very lovely person. He's very kind. He's very caring. He's sociable and he's gregarious and he's generous.
Yes.
And he has this way of making people, drawing people in and making mm-hmm. them reveal things about themselves all of the time. He's always coming away going, someone did like an overshare with me again. And I'm like, well, stop cornering them. And he's like, I don't know why I do it. And I said, people just feel comfortable with you. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what it is.
Yes.
So anyway, I'm like, everyone loves Ben. Everyone loves Ben. And people are constantly, when I try and say, like, well, he's not always a pleasure to live with
yeah.
and be the wife of, you know, people get it. But I think at first people are like, really? I don't see that. You know, and I think, like Will Smith, his parts of his personality are what makes him so amazing. But I can see that drain as well, being Jada, where it's kind of like, he's hard work. It's exhausting being married to this person.
That much energy.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the same with everyone. The reasons we're attracted to them is what draws us in. And then I think what causes the biggest issue in the relationship is when suddenly you're like, the thing I used to like most about you is like, suddenly I can't stand that part about you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And often some of those things are the things you can't stand about yourself as well.
Totally. Oh, don't go there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting within a marriage that you can be shown that mirror quite often.
Well, I actually remember, here's some real talk, Nicole.
Go on.
I remember it because when we met, we were hanging out with our kids doing the library stuff, going for coffees.
Yep.
You were so beautiful and generous and reaching out to me and all the other mums. And then at a certain point, we went from the coffee with the kids as like a buffer to dinners.
Yep.
Where it was just us women.
Yeah.
And I remember those first couple being like, this is fun, but it's also a little bit tense. Like, I don't really know these people all that well.
Yeah.
Did you have that sense?
No.
Because I remember one of the first, and maybe it was the first one or one of the first ones, I remember you started to say, me and my husband, we're really great mates. I really like him a lot. You know, we're so close and connected. I can't fall asleep unless, like, I'm touching him in some way, like,
yeah,
all of that kind of stuff. When he's away, I can't get to sleep and I can't la la la. And I had that moment where I'm like, screw you, bitch.
I'm sorry. No, because we've gotten to that place.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
No, come on. You were always that from the start. That's just you and Paul.
Well, we were from the start, we were like that.
Mm.
And there are parts of time that you kind of move away from that a little mm-hmm. bit. And our thing is always, I choose every day to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is my choice.
Yep.
the piece of paper we signed, the things we said in front of the people,
mm-hmm.
less important than the fact that I choose every day.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime you kind of take a step away, you've got a choice to take another step away mm-hmm. or take a step back towards.
Right.
And we choose to step back towards. Even when it's really rough.
So I'm going to ask you in a minute how you learned to do that. But press pause on that, because what you said there about every day and one day at a time. I remember, so I didn't have a big committed entwined relationship before Ben, but I dated, I liked people, went out. They liked me, I didn't like them, la la, all that kind of stuff. And I think I'd sort of gotten to, Ben and I got together when I was about 26, and I'd sort of felt like, you know, that whole in Sex and the City where Charlotte goes like, I've been dating for like 20 years, I'm tired, where is he already? For me, it was more like 10 years, but I had that same sense of like, I actually don't think it's going to happen. Like, wow. I can't see how it is going to line up, and it's all like things that seem okay, then don't go okay. And, you know, and I remember someone saying to me that I think the relationship is right when you notice that every day shouldn't feel like a struggle.
Yeah.
Like some days will.
Yeah, for
but
course.
At the end of the day, it's like, oh, this person, no, this is good, this person. Like, yeah. I would choose this person every day.
Yeah.
And I kind of think like Ben and I don't broadly struggle. We've not been close to breaking up, but we've had really rough times.
Yep.
And but I think that element of like, oh, okay, even as much as he annoys me or we can't communicate or it's so difficult, I do have that sense every day of being like, yeah, this is my person. That's or funny. We're in this. And I don't know what that feels like for that to shift.
Yeah.
I don't know why or what it takes or what happens in people's relationships that drives that wedge, or maybe it's the same actually in my short-term relationships. It's just the same shit just over a bigger scale. I don't know.
Well, I think there's lots of things that can make that shift.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there are points within a marriage that are the most stressful and mm-hmm. tense, that first year after the first babies come along, and that, I mean, you are still in the midst of that kind of having a little person around and, you know, childcare stage, not even school stage yet completely. And then, of course, when the kids leave, that's another point that marriages really struggle, because it's people haven't nurtured that relationship necessarily.
Kept the relationship
and
going.
It's become a task relationship. Mm. Like we found, particularly because Paul travels quite a lot, that we would end up on the phone going, okay, well, I've this and I've that, and oh, you've this and you that, and this kid this and that kid that. And then we get to the end of a conversation and go, we haven't actually talked about anything. We haven't had any time just being Paul and Nick.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about things we need to do or things that we have done, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, the jobs.
We've tasked each other,
we
say. So, we kind of...
So you realised you needed to commit to the you and him time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, okay.
Because that was, I remember that was
so you
my
keep
advice.
Telling me all these things about what you do.
Okay.
Like, who told you that?
No one. And it certainly wasn't the example set for us.
Right.
So we, the fighting style thing I think is really interesting. Because, I mean, you've talked about how, you know, from a clinical psychologist perspective, that there are things that you can do as far as having disagreements and how you can manage those. We obviously never had that conversation, but we had examples from his parents that were very volatile and you know, yelling and that kind of thing. And then on my parents' side, where there was silence. And so we had to negotiate that, you know, and how that was going to work. We never left each other. Like there was a, I think there's been a few times that I've gone and tried to sleep on the couch and he's come and gotten me, or he's gone and tried to sleep on the couch and I've come and gotten him. And I think one time I drove away, and that was probably when Big Two was tiny. And I just drove away like 2 minutes away and sat in the car and then drove back. And we both decided that was just not going to work. We can't do that.
Yeah.
and it just felt awful.
Yeah.
And but there are times when Paul wants to resolve things really like quickly, and he comes at me and he wants to talk to me about it and blah 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And I need time to stew and process.
Mm-hmm.
Like, give me 5 minutes mm-hmm. before I can talk to you.
Yeah.
Because when he's talking at me and to me, I haven't had time to process my thoughts, and mm-hmm. so everything that comes out of my mouth doesn't come out the way that I want it to come out.
Mm.
And so it's like I need time mm. to process. And so now. It's very rare these days, mm. But if there's something, he'll just let me go away into my room for 5 minutes or, mm. you know, just sit somewhere else.
Yeah.
5 minutes.
Yeah.
And he knows that I will come back to him mm. when I've fully formed my argument.
Yeah. 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 We're going through it. I think you and I are similar yeah. and our husbands are similar because mm. I'm going through some challenges personally in my life at the moment.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just need some space.
Mm.
And my dear husband, who solves his emotional issues through closeness and talking and yes. all of that kind of stuff, he's like, I think feeling anxious that I'm not addressing it if I'm not talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've had to say to him, no, like, you've got to trust that if I, like, shut down for a day and I don't want to talk about it and I pull away or I want a day away,
mm.
that's doing the work.
Yes.
And I'm going to come back
mm-hmm.
and I might not have talked it through. I might have actually just slept.
Yeah. Does Ben
or
think out loud? Paul thinks out loud.
Does Ben talk constantly?
Yes. I talk constantly, but it's not often that I'm thinking. It's all the words.
Yes. He discovers how he feels
yes,
through talking.
Yep.
I discover so how Paul. I feel through sitting in silence.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I think one of the fights we were having the other day, literally, was like, because we often get into these traps of like, my way is right.
Mm.
And he's like, my way is right. And then I'm like, well, it's just different. Like, mm. there's no right way.
No, he's absolutely right.
Yeah.
His way is right for him.
For him.
Your way is right for you.
Okay, now, slow down. Say that again.
His way is right for him. And your way is right. For you, the work is figuring out where in the middle you can meet. And that's what we've had to work
yeah.
out.
Mm. Mm. I think it's, you know, that idea of marriage takes work. It's said, but I don't think anyone knows, like, what the work means, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm trained to do some couples counselling, but I'm not that great at it. And I think probably because of my own lack of confidence in strong, stable, you know, marriages over time,
yeah.
I chose not to really work in that area very much.
Mm.
And I had a real sort of sense of like, oh, I don't trust this thing. What is it like? And I feel like when we celebrated our 10th anniversary this year, I went to Ben and I said, I've actually been telling myself this story for close to 10 years of like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not good at marriage. I can't, all of that kind of stuff. And then I was like, actually, I don't think that's true anymore.
Mm-mm.
Like at some point I've had enough experience that actually I have picked up some things along the way
yeah.
and I'm not as underconfident that I have the skills to make it work.
I think part of having – I think the biggest skill is to understand that you don't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
No, seriously.
Yeah.
In the same way that when your child is born, you're like, I've never been your mum.
Mm.
You've never been my kid. Let's work it out together.
Mm.
That's marriage.
Mm.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
I've never been married to you. You've never been married
yeah.
to me.
Yeah.
We're still working each other out
yeah.
and ourselves out.
Yeah.
Like it's all negotiation and
yeah.
communication and working out how to do it in a way that doesn't diminish each other.
Yeah.
'Cause your own personal communications
yeah.
ways.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And it's hard. I mean, that's what was good about the Jada and Will thing is that, you know, our society's not good at depicting real life marriage
no.
stuff. Years and years and years ago, actually, like my husband's a writer. I used to do a little bit of writing and stuff as well before kids and all that kind of stuff. And I had this like idea in mind for either like a novel or a movie script or something. And it was going to be called After the Credits Roll.
Oh, I love it.
Because I was like,
TM.
Well done, Nicole.
You're very welcome.
because I was like, yeah, I love rom-coms. Like, I love how good are rom-coms, you know, but it's not real world. And then it is kind of like fade to black and then, okay, well, that's it. That's the falling in love story. And then fade to black, that just continues for the rest of it's, or movies depict like highly dysfunctional relationships. Like there's very few examples in media of actually just being like, oh, this is healthy, normal family stuff that, you know, like I feel like my radar for what's like bad normal versus bad abnormal, you know, like is really off.
Have you seen the movie Parenthood? Steve Martin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But all I think of is this little kid who's got a bucket on his head and he's running into things.
He likes to butt things with his head. How proud you must be. That is one of our favourite films ever.
Right.
So it's in our top sort of couple five.
Ah.
Because there is depictions of real stuff. Right. You know, real struggle.
Oh, and Rick Moranis with like the flashcards. That's the same one, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, there's so many different. It's like an episode of The Simpsons, you know, there's like a million different things going on. The movie Parenthood is like so many different stories all happening at once.
Yeah.
And depictions of different kinds of families.
See,
and
I've not watched it since having kids.
Wow.
Maybe we should do a rewatch, talk about Parenthood.
Ooh, I will bring you my DVD.
You've got it. I love it. You
are. I have. But that's another thing that I think you're absolutely right about. It is the credits roll and everything is happy and lovely. And I know there are, I think there's a lot of people who read romance novels and things like that and it ruins them for real life.
Yeah.
You know, I think I never felt like rom-coms and romance novels were real. I enjoy them. I like them. But I don't know. I just feel like there are so many other ways to demonstrate love.
See, I probably did, like, this is really lame, but obviously it's fantasy, you know? It's Hollywood, it's film, it's what happens. But I think also when I was younger, I thought that, like, finding the one would look like how it looks. Like, I wanted, you know, like the guy in Love Actually who, like, has the flashcards. Oh, she doesn't end up with him anyway. But, you know, like the grand romantic gesture where he's like, to me, you are perfect. Yeah. And la, la, la.
Let's like, talk I was about just how much of a stalker that guy is.
I know. But this is me in my 20s. I was like, I'll know it's the one when he shows up playing with a little boombox and a flashcard outside my door.
Yeah.
My freaking husband doesn't even bring me flowers ever.
Mine doesn't because he knows I hate them.
Oh, stop it. He doesn't believe in flowers. And I'm like, I believe in flowers.
Well, see, that's a negotiation.
It is.
So for me, flowers were, I've done something wrong.
Right.
When I was a child, this is when flowers came into my home.
Okay.
So they were always
the problem flowers.
They were always attached to something.
Right, right.
And so they became negative in my mind, and then the whole, they smell and they get cut and they're gross.
Yeah. No, my husband just goes like, no to grand gestures. Like, no, that's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and you're right, and Jade is right, that whole idea of marriage is also the best teacher that helps you grow and learn more about yourself. And, you know, through the pain of those difficult conversations, somehow if you're doing it right, it helps you to personally grow as a person. And I say somehow because I'm like, I don't really know. Like, I know that it's in discussion. I know it's about saying how you really feel, not holding grudges, you know, not like letting things simmer and form a resentment over time. But and I say this from the space of someone who's a does some couples counselling, I still don't necessarily really know how that happens.
Yeah.
Because maybe it's like in those conversations, it doesn't feel like it's productive hurt. It sometimes just feels like hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
But one thing I learned too is that, and this, you know, I can't divorce like the therapist part of me, which is sometimes bad, but it's sometimes good. But I remember hearing at one point when it comes to kids and conflict that it's you shouldn't shield your kids from the conflict.
No, but you also should make sure they're not shielded from the resolution.
Exactly. Yeah. So show them the conflict, but then show them how you make up.
Yeah. So Paul and I have a thing. when we have discussions. We've never had a screaming, yelling fight, I don't think. I mean, if anyone was going to yell, it was going to be me. Mm-hmm. I'm the volatile one in this situation.
Yeah.
But we have discussions, and obviously our tone will certainly indicate to the kids that something is different. Mm-hmm. And often they end up with me sitting in Paul's lap on the couch. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to be sitting facing him, like, I am in your face, I'm not going anywhere kind of thing. And I remember the Bigs telling me this story once where Big Two went into Big One's room, mm-hmm. and was like, have you heard them? Have you heard them tonight? They just haven't stopped. They just can't stop talking. Like, what is it?
They're not fighting. They're having a discussion.
Are they going to get divorced? Yeah. Says Big Two.
Yeah.
And Big One goes, look in the lounge room. As soon as Mum's sitting on his lap, it's fine.
I love it.
So, you know.
And I think sometimes you have to kind of fake it to make it as well.
Sure.
Like, at the end of the day, you just have to be like, this is enough, and let's just go back to the kind of, like, shake hands, be civil, remember that we're friends, remember we're in this together.
Yeah.
You know, that's another thing Jada and Will talk about, is just having both of them that strong commitment. Divorce is not an option.
Yeah.
I actually probably think that, you know, and we've not talked about, like, domestic violence and all that kind of stuff.
That's a whole other thing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We're trying to talk about just the normal shit in normal relationships. I actually think, for me, it's helpful also to think divorce isn't an option.
Mm.
Because for me, when stuff gets hard, I'm like, I'm a strong, independent woman. I'm out of here. No one's going to treat me that way, or that kind of stuff. And I can handle myself pretty well on my own. I'm not the sort of needing connection, like, dependent kind of person.
Yeah.
But I'm the opposite. I go the other way. When it gets hard, I'm like, I'm out of here. I'm fine. How dare I compromise my feminist morals by, you know, like, curtailing to some of the stuff that happens in this marriage.
Mm.
But, you know, that's all bullshit, really.
It is.
Like, you know, you've got you, you've got your partner, and then you've got you as a couple. And you can... I think Jada's also great at this as well. She lost herself.
Yep.
And she had to find her own self.
They were the worst times in my marriage, when I lost me.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I don't think
Paul
I've done
probably
that yet.
Said the same thing.
Mm.
You know, when there were times when he was at his lowest ebb.
Mm.
I call it when he goes, like, grey beige. So Paul is technicolour.
Okay.
He is a technicolour human.
Uh-huh.
He is optimistic by nature, and sometimes it's annoying that he's like, silver lining. And I'm like, for God's sake, see the damn cloud.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But when he has gone through some stuff at work or whatever that has just faded his colour down,
mm-hmm.
it's really tough, because his sunshine kind of lights up our whole home.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, and I know that there were tough times in our marriage, because I don't know what to do to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And the same when I was having my lowest ebbs, you know, he just chose every day to love me, even though I was a horrible human being.
Mm.
Like, I didn't like me. Mm. I don't know how he liked me, but he loved me still. And he just chose to love me every one of those days.
Yeah.
And then eventually I decided that I liked myself again.
Yeah. And the couple just has to hang in for that phase.
Because
it's only up to that one person to pull themselves out of that as well.
That's the other thing. You can't do the work by yourself. You can't pull for two.
Yeah.
So,
and maybe that's the toughest thing about marriage, is that, like, you're a person. You grow and evolve and change and have different challenges, form different beliefs and opinions, and it's like the strength of the couple to, maybe it's just boundaries.
Yeah.
To know where it's kind of like, you can do you over there. Like, Jada and Will were like holidays together. Like, I'm not going on a European adventure anymore. And the minute she's like, I don't have to do that, that's you.
Mm-hmm.
And I do me. And then there's stuff we do as a couple.
Yeah.
That's really insightful.
It's very freeing.
Yes.
Yeah. But I remember the advice I gave to you when number three was, we did your baby shower for number three.
Ah, yes.
And it was something that I think, I don't know where I learned this or where I heard this or whatever, but your family started because you were a couple, because of the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to nurture that.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, nothing else works.
Mm-hmm.
Or it works but works differently.
Yep.
You know, so if you started in this way, mm. being together as mm. a couple, mm. you got to nurture that bit. Because, yeah.
Yeah. That's what we say to our kids when we go away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we sort of say things like, you know, this whole family, maybe I picked it up from you. This whole family started because mum and dad are friends.
Yeah.
And you guys were made from our love.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to go and do our love time together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we also try and make it explicit to them that we all do little semi-dates with each other as well.
That's
and
really
we
cool.
kind of call it that. So, you know, Ben and my girl do like daddy-daughter dates and then aww. I go, let's go do girl time, just the two of us. And like, I think we try and signify when it is that we're all together and when it is that it's like just special time for just mm. us, to make it easier then to say, mummy and daddy are going to go do the special stuff.
Anyway, Kristen Bell has a series called Mumsplaining.
What?
Mm.
How did I not know about this? Did you know this because Dax interviewed her again?
No, I saw it on, because it's through Ellen Tube, through
is
YouTube.
It?
Yeah. So I'm going to give you homework. You
yay!
Need to watch Mumsplaining.
And I should read my texts. That's my...
Listeners, Rachel is terrible at reading texts.
I'm terrible at reading texts. Nope, here it is. You're correct. Blah, blah, blah.
So, yes, we will talk Mumsplaining next time, which means you have homework this time. Hooray. I've actually seen Mumsplaining.
Oh, that's
awesome.
Or should
I say Momsplaining?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay.
A little series that you can find on YouTube. You can Google it on Facebook. Oh, mm-hmm. my God. You can find it on Facebook as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just little bits of her talking about mum stuff with other mums.
I love it.
And, yes, very funny.
Fantastic.
It'll make you laugh.
Cool.
Which is nice.
Cool.
And we'll talk about that next time.
We will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, though, find us on Facebook. Find Rach at littleshopofpop.com.
Well done.
At Nicole Lissio on Twitter for me, and Pop the Kettle on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Find us, rate us, subscribe, like, all of the things.
Fantastic. Thanks, Nick. All right. Until next time, go hug your babies.
I will. You too.
I will.
Actually, I want to hug your babies. I haven't seen your babies for a while.
Yeah.
So, yes. And, you know, hug each other and and be kind to yourself.
Yep.
Because that's important.
I know.
Yeah.
All right.
We will catch you next time.
We will.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.